You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the CMO Suite. I'm your host, Sean Halter, and co-hosting with me today is Samantha Pick. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Sean.
And DJ Hamilton. DJ the DJ, how's things?
Things are great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back for another round of episodes.
Well, we've got a couple of really great CMOs coming up today, including Jill Geer, who is the CMO for USA Track and Field. Jill, are you on the call?
I am here, and I'm very glad to be here.
Thanks, Jill. We appreciate you coming in and joining us as a guest today. So you've been with USA Track and Field, I feel like, for over a decade, but you've been the CMO. You got that position. Was it a couple of years ago?
Yes, in 2016. I came into USA Track and Field actually way back in 2000 as Director of Communications.
Okay.
And eventually, I made the migration over to marketing when we really combined and fully integrated what we did on both the marketing and the communication side. Previously, both functions had been very siloed. So the organization looked at in 2012, who's got the experience and the knowledge base to really tell our story, and that choice was me.
Well, that's great. So, you know, it's interesting that seems to be happening even more now than potentially ever before, where, you know, brands had these siloed departments. You had sales, you might have had communications, you might have had marketing, and it seems like, especially with the way everybody communicates their brand these days, you have to kind of pull that all, in essence, in-house. Everybody has to understand what everybody else is doing in some ways, and so it sounds like, you know, you guys or the team there that made that decision had a little bit of foresight in that time to be able to kind of make that transition. So how was that for you? Was it a pretty easy transition because of the fact that you had already been working from a communication standpoint? What were the parts about it that were more challenging?
So it was pretty easy, simply in terms of my familiarity with our partners, with the organization, and with the sport. It was very challenging from a workload perspective to essentially bring in three different functions. We've got sales, marketing, communications, branding, and community outreach all under one roof. But it was really exciting, and we actually grew what we did in terms of marketing because, from my perspective, marketing is communications. And prior to about 2011 or 2012, marketing for us had meant sponsor sales. And we no longer approach sponsor sales as sales. It's really partnership building. And that's really kind of a sweet spot for me and my staff. So it's been really great. And I think it's really helped move the company forward as well.
So, Jill, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that are currently facing this industry, and what are some of the steps that you're taking with your team to overcome those?
Well, really, one of the biggest challenges within our industry, within track and field, is we are facing a hugely popular sport in terms of participation. It's the biggest participatory sport on the high school level. There are 50 million runners out there, but it's also really fragmented. So our challenge is to take participants and to convert them into fans. So we're really kind of taking the long game approach with that and really targeting high school athletes, even middle school athletes to some extent, to make them fans of the sport and not just participants, and try to build them into fans, consumers, and people who really follow the sport on television, social media, and even, you know, in the retail marketplace.
Jill, as Sean mentioned earlier, you've worn quite a few hats over there at the USATF. On your way up, what's the greatest piece of advice that someone has given you throughout your marketing career?
Well, I think the best piece of advice I got from my current CEO, Max Siegel, and it's really a piece of advice that can apply to any career or any task, and that is to step back and ask yourself, what are you trying to accomplish or achieve? I think far too many times, whether it's in marketing or any kind of piece of your job, people tend to dive right into tactics. So you might say, okay, how are we going to market the brand? And you start talking about, let's hit Twitter, let's hit Instagram, instead of pulling back to say, what does success look like? How will we know when we're going to be successful, whether that is a numerical goal, a political goal, a thematic goal, or even a branding goal? And that has really helped us be much more strategic in how we approach not just marketing, but our relationships in general. And it's made us much more efficient.
Hey, it's Sean. You know, one of the interesting things that you also were talking about was just the fact that athletes play such a great role in what you guys do. And so what are some of the key points that you feel like you've learned from leading in some ways what often sometimes or upon occasion can almost feel like crisis management? I mean, you have control over the brand, but you don't have control over those thousands of athletes that are out there. And so that's a little unique in some ways to that communication piece. And so can you speak to that at least a little bit?
Absolutely. And fortunately or unfortunately, for much of my career, I've worked very deeply in crisis communication when it comes to our sport. Everything from people unfortunately passing away during our events to various anti-doping issues or even competition issues. And the number one thing that any company has to do is to communicate internally and to gather as many facts as possible before going outward facing. And that was true back in 2000, which is...
Yeah.
You have all your stakeholders and experts kind of weighing in before you go external facing. That said, you do have to be responsive, and you cannot wait too long to respond to a crisis, but it's got to be thoughtful and not impulsive.
Right. So, Jill, what do you love about marketing today compared to, say, back in 2000?
I would really have to say, you know, what I love about it is also the biggest challenge right now, and that is the ability to communicate directly with your audience. And the upside of that is that it's not through anyone else's filter, whether it's the press or whether it's needing to buy advertising on television. The challenge is that it's a very crowded marketplace. And how do you really differentiate your voice and your brand within that marketplace?
Hey, Jill, last question. Again, we appreciate the time and some really great insights, certainly some pieces that people can kind of take some good insight from. So my last question is just, as you look at 2019, what's the part of this funnel that you kind of wish you either knew more about or that you feel like you're going to spend some time next year really trying to dig into when it comes to marketing?
Well, when it comes to marketing USATF, what I really wish I knew is which athletes were going to be our breakout stars for 2020, because we could start marketing them right now. But in the United States, our athlete pool is so deep, and really our athletes are our greatest asset. Unfortunately, we don't know 2 years out who's going to make that Olympic team.
Sure.
So that's our biggest challenge, yeah.
Jill, do I have to be able to run a sub-13-minute mile to be a card-carrying member of the USATF?
Absolutely not. We have parents, we have officials, we have race walkers, we have hobby joggers, we have elite athletes. In fact, I'm sitting here with a wrap on my leg right now because I thought it was a good idea to go run a road race a few weeks ago. So we take everybody.
DJ just wants to know if dodgeball, or kickball, or either one of those two, is there a chance we might be able to get those in the Olympics within the next couple of years?
I would say absolutely. And I will tell you, I actually won our inter-office dodgeball competition several years ago. So
well, get that leg better because you need to defend that championship. Thanks so much for joining us, Jill.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Listen, with us on the phone, somebody I am super excited who offered to be a guest with us. It is Jeff Cologne, head of brand studio Microsoft Advertising. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Listen, the journey that you've taken to get to Microsoft has been an interesting one. It looks like you came up through the agency space a bit, published author, and then you land over at Microsoft. So spend a couple minutes maybe just telling us a little bit about that journey itself, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to take long journeys in life. We have a tendency of thinking, you know, we should be hitting marks at particular ages. I don't believe that, you know, but then again, I think we'll all live a lot longer than, you know, our parents or our grandparents did. So, you know, the journey should be the thing that we pay attention to the most, and learning is a big part of that journey. And, you know, I was part of the music industry for a really long time early in my career and really learned a lot of digital and technology there, because you had MP3 technology, you had a lot of technology in terms of music production. So I was really fascinated with that, and then got into the startup world in New York City early on. From there, got into the digital agency world that was really burgeoning. There was just not a lot of agencies that were doing digital in the early 2000s in terms of building websites and trying to figure out web traffic and search and social media. And those were great learning lessons because you could experiment. You would have, you know, clients like American Express that would say, let's just experiment with things that nobody else is doing. And that's, you know, I think we're, you know, that was an important part of my career because that ultimately got me into tinkering. And from there, I think that opened the doors to, you know, Microsoft at a time that Microsoft was really looking to change. This was, you know, 2013 when Satya Nadella was, when Steve Ballmer was, you know, stepping aside and they were trying to identify a new CEO. And I've really enjoyed my journey the last 5 years here, you know, mainly because I think leadership has just been open to, you know, all types of opportunities.
So, you know, it's interesting if I can jump in there for a second, just talking about that journey that you've taken a little bit and in the digital space, you know, having come from the agency side, you know, there are people that could have worked in an agency for 10 or 15 or 20 years, but everything in that digital space just seems to get so kind of scrunched up, kind of pushed together. And so talk about that for just a second, the fact that, you know, you could be somewhere for 2 years and feel like, wow, I've done everything I can kind of accomplish here in this space in 2 years, and I need to in some ways move on to kind of that next piece. Do you feel like you felt that along the way, or is it really, again, because digital is just evolving so quickly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sean, you bring up a good point. I mean, I was at an agency for like 2 years, and at one particular agency for 2 years, and I was like, I need to go on to my next assignment, you know, either find another job at that agency or find a job outside that agency, because I just felt like I had learned everything that I could in that particular area, and there was no real room for growth, and that agency wasn't providing a lot of opportunity for growth. So I went and found another gig that, you know, that particular agency did allow for room for growth. I think, you know, in the agency world, you just have to be open to the fact that the model's changing, the business models are changing, that agencies are trying to future-proof themselves, that, you know, holding companies aren't the only game in town now, that you have consulting firms that are trying to swallow a lot of agencies. But also, I think, you know, the best agencies are those that mix performance with creative, because those are two worlds that should be merged together. They shouldn't live separately. You shouldn't just have a media buying agency and then a creative agency. You should try to really find one that does both, because a media buying agency would understand, like, hey, what are we going to do with this creative? What kind of creative are we going to need? Plus, it's going beyond digital now. I mean, I think I read an article that, you know, outdoor advertising is the biggest area of growth. But that ties into your digital ecosystem, Sean, because smart companies would say, we bought a bunch of billboards, and we've also measured how much our search performance has gone up.
Sure, it's got all tied together, right? It's all full funnel at this point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. And Jeff, with so many different channels out there to reach consumers, what are you guys currently doing to ensure that you're creating the highest possible level of engagement with your prospects?
I mean, I think the most important thing is understanding their, you know, their customer behavior. And that really goes back to understanding people are, you know, illogical. We're irrational. We don't necessarily make linear decisions. We don't make rational decisions. And maybe following the school of behavioral economics that Richard Thaler sort of presented is an important one, because it actually makes your job more exciting, you know, in terms of, hey, what are we developing that we know people will respond to? But also, you know, how they don't respond to this. What do we, you know, what do we help them in? I think I'm trying to get people to dream or reimagine what the customer experience is. That's my main motivation for I think 2019 is, you know, what is your book of dreams? What would your ultimate customer experience look like if money did not matter to your business? Whether you're a small business, medium-sized business, or a Fortune 100, and, you know, how can we help you get there? And I think understanding not just the technologies that we provide or the solutions we provide at Microsoft is important, but everything is important because it all integrates with one another. I think you're a trusted partner when you say, hey, here's what we can do from the Microsoft side, but that also ties into maybe your Amazon Web Services, or ties into your Marketo, or ties into, you know, the advertising you're running on Facebook or Twitter. I think those more holistic thinkers are necessary in our world now. You know, I sort of call this the new renaissance, where, you know, we need more people who are thinking, acting, and breathing like, you know, Da Vinci did back in that original Renaissance era, except we're thinking more in a digital meets physical meets sort of virtual world.
Good point. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.